And she's taken in two refugee children, one who nearly drowned crossing the Mediterranean in a dinghy. Hello, Debbie, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you.
So you've taken in two refugee children. Where are they from?
Eritrea, which is East Africa.
And I mentioned there that one nearly drowned crossing the Mediterranean in a dinghy.
Yes, she was 13 years of age and she travelled through from Eritrea on foot. Can you imagine at that age, crossing Sudan. And then she ended up getting in a dinghy, crossing over the Mediterranean, but she couldn't swim. And she ended up falling in the water and was picked up by the Italian Coast Guards at the time. She nearly drowned, but she was just absolutely amazing. She ended up doing that same journey again. She was on a mission. She was determined to, you know, to cross the Mediterranean, and rather stay there, she jumped on a dinghy again and crossed again after that experience, and ended up then in the French Calais camp before she ended up, I think she was there 2 years, and then ended up in a lorry. Now, they quite never know where these lorries are going to end up. They just get in the lorry and hope, you know, for the best. And she ended up, the lorry driver opened the back of the lorry, there she was, sat squatting there, and ended up in Liverpool.
Yeah. And she made that journey by herself, did she?
Yeah, she did, 13 years of age at the time. I'll never forget when she came to the door, you know, when the TACT social worker brought her to the door and she was holding her hand. She looked absolutely terrified, you know.
Gosh, how long ago was that, Debbie?
That was about six years ago. Yeah, 6 years ago, because I had her for 5 years. And I remember looking at her, you know, and the clothes she had on, and the next day I shot out and I took her to Clark's to buy some shoes, and they measured her feet. And she was in, she measured a size 5, and the shoes she had on, the trainers, were a size 3. So her feet must have, you know.
Been killing her, God love her. And the other because we mentioned you'd had two refugee children, tell us the story of the other one.
Yeah, well, because I'd already had my first little girl, Tack said to me, we have another boy here. Is there any possibility that you could take this boy? And I thought, well, you know, it will be easier if I've got, because the other little girl then was speaking a bit of English, could have helped him more. Initially, my little girl, it was difficult because she couldn't speak any English whatsoever. So the second one, when he came, he had somebody then to talk to who could then go through a few things, all the things she'd learnt while she'd sort of been here for a year or so.
And he was from Eritrea as well?
He was from Eritrea as well, yes. And he had the same journey, except for him, it was different. When he ended up in Sudan, and he'd been kidnapped and kept hostage. And they write home for the parents trying to get money for them to be released, things like this. But he escaped that, shot at, also, you know, shot at before as he was running away, all these type of things. And he was only at the time 15.
Wow.
We don't realise, do we, what these children go through, really.
We really don't. And how are they now?
Absolutely amazing. My little girl, she calls me Mum. I'm her Mum now. She's actually getting married this year. She's training to be a chemist. So she's going on to be a chemist. And the boy, he was quite an exceptional footballer. I picked up on my friend Alf. He picked up, he said, you know what, he's a really good footballer. You want to see about getting him into Liverpool Football Academy or something like this. You know, A Academy could be in Everton. So I took him along and he got accepted into Liverpool Football Academy at the time.
Wow.
So he was, you know, I mean, she went to college. She's now in college and training to be hopefully a chemist or a nurse. She's doing health and social care. And so she's doing amazing, speaks perfect English now. But when she came, couldn't speak any English whatsoever, either of them. So that was quite difficult, you know.
Of course. So you're going to be mother of the bride soon?
I am, that's right. I'm getting, she's having me a traditional Eritrean dress made for mother of the bride.
How lovely.
So,
Debbie, you fostered a few children before that, didn't you? How did it come about that you then were... Is TACT... You mentioned you did it through TACT and they rang you and said, can you take this girl? Were you fostering with TACT before and then the refugee children was still with the same organisation?
Yes. I've been with TACT now for about 12 years. you know, they're fantastic agency, very supportive. The social workers are brilliant. So I absolutely, that's why, you know, I stayed so long. And it was absolutely imperative to get the support I needed, which I got from TACT. And I ended up, I was working in a prison in Morton Prison at the time, and I noticed there was such a high, you know, I used to work with maybe the those who'd served life as well and things. There was an awful lot of the lads in there who'd come from being in maybe a care background, you know, care homes or that type of thing. And I decided, you know, I wanted to go down the fostering route to stop them going down that road, really, see if I could make a difference. And that's how that came about.
Are you still fostering, Debbie?
Yes, yes. I've taken a little step back, though, now, and do respite for the other carers. So anything that comes along, if they go away on holiday or the child needs a break even, I tend to do that now. And I've got a friend, talking about doing the refugee, I have a friend who, she had six children, all from the same, for Czechoslovakian children. So once a month she needs a break, so I'll look after three of her children, you know.
Oh, and that respite that people get is just so needed, isn't it? How did they settle? Because, you know, you said that they didn't speak English. I bet it was quite quick that, you know, once they're immersed in a language, were you amazed how quickly they picked it up?
Absolutely, absolutely. It was difficult at first because you're trying to communicate and be in a different culture as well, you know, food-wise, what we're used to. I was trying to ask what food they liked and you couldn't. So I was ended up, I was doing impressions of chickens and cows and all sorts, trying to, you know, do you want some? And, you know, I'd walk around doing a chicken and she, oh, I'm, yeah, chicken, yeah, you know, sort of showing the chickens. So it was difficult at first trying to, I'm putting, it was like having, I suppose, you know, when you have a child and you're putting signs everywhere, like kettle, light, shower, you know, this type of thing to help her learn that language. And it, initially, I think they put her in a language school and she wasn't progressing at all because she was in a language school with maybe a lot of older people. And it was, you know, it was people from different countries. So she wasn't, you know, hearing English all the time. Mm. And I got her into a multicultural school in Liverpool, which was on Shiel Road. And from then on, she excelled. Language-wise, in fact, she came home and it was the boy came home one day and he said, "Mum," he said, what does kex mean?"
Put your kex on, lad.
and he said, he said, "What a bevy?" And what had happened is one of the teaching assistants, I came around and said, "I need to go and buy a new kex," he said, "because I'm going for a bevy." So he'd come home.
I love that.
You know, there's some lovely little anecdotes like that from when they were learning the language, of course, the Scouse language as well, you know.
Oh, no, yeah, they were learning two languages. They were learning English and Scouse, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And tell me why you're a foster carer.
I think going back to, it lay on my heart for such a, for many, many years, really, and I'd often thought, you know, about helping the children. And then again, as I say, it was from when I did that work in the prison, and it was voluntary work I did in the prison, helping those lads. And it was that, and I thought, you know, they end up in it. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, as adults, they don't take that wrong path. So I thought, I need to inquire, and a friend of mine who worked for TACT at the time, she said, "Come round and I'll have a chat with you and tell you all about it." And then before you know it, a TACT social worker came round and explained everything to me, which you know, I've done ever since. I've never looked back.
Debbie, you've obviously given them so much, which if you're like every other foster carer I speak to, they're going to say, no, I've got just as much back. So if somebody was thinking about becoming a foster carer, tell them why they would do it.
Don't hesitate, really, because if you're thinking about it, you've got nothing to lose by making that inquiry, to phoning up, going through the process, because, you know, these children, there's nothing nicer. I remember on, you know, Mother's Day, when you're getting a Mother's Day card, you know, or say that I stay in touch with all of mine. I was out with one that had left years and years ago when we went out for a meal, and he said to me, you know, "I'll never forget that support that you gave me." I mean, he's training as a chef now. He said, "I couldn't have done it without you." He said, now, without that, who knows what road they would have gone down, you know, because quite often these children, they present with challenging behaviour. What's happened to them, they might have physically abused, neglected, and they just need that love and support that would that our own children get, the nurturing that our own children are used to, and set them on the right road. And when you get a Mother's Day card or they come and say to you, without you, I wouldn't be in this place, I wouldn't be doing this, going to university or doing that. I mean, you feel elated. It's more, it does me more good. I don't know what, you know, than anything. I just feel, I don't know, I've accomplished something in life, I suppose. I've contributed myself, you know.
Debbie, that was a perfect advert for anybody thinking of fostering. Thank you so much for being part of our Refugee Week and telling us the fabulous anecdotes from those two children that you fostered. You take care, and it was Tact Liverpool if anybody wants to have a little look into them.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Take care, Debbie. Bye-bye now. Lisa.